2 Corinthians chapter 4, then, I draw your attention this morning to the verse 17, where Paul writes, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." Our light affliction is what the Apostle Paul writes. Now, we all know what affliction is because it's very common amongst humankind. In fact, it's so common, none of us ever escape it. In fact, the Bible says we're born onto affliction. It's like we've come into the world for that reason, to be afflicted. So afflictions are something we know something about. We all know something about. Even Christians know something about afflictions. Even the most holiest child of God is not void of afflictions. In fact, the Bible says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. So it's something we all are aware of. And Paul is using that word here in our text. He's talking about our affliction. Now, the word that he uses is a very special word that comes from a verb which means to squeeze, to compress, to so push together as to narrow. It takes great weight to do that. A great press, for example, as might squeeze the wine out of the grape, or the oil out of the olive. The press that squeezes, the weight that comes down and compresses so that there's the bursting of the fluids out of the mass of matter. So the word suggests a heavy crushing. A weight. But what does the apostle say? It's almost a contradiction. He says our light affliction. Not our heavy affliction. He says our light. Our light affliction. He uses a word we don't expect him to use. We expect him to say a heavy pressing affliction, a heavy pressing trial, a heavy pressing weight. You remember Gethsemane. Gethsemane was where our Lord had his pressing. The word Gethsemane means the place of the press. There were olive trees there. There was an olive press in the vicinity. It was probably in a cave near which the Lord Jesus Christ prayed. There was a literal press in Gethsemane. And it was a fitting symbol of Christ's crushing. The crushing that he experienced, the heavy affliction that he went through. The word affliction tells us of something that's heavy. And yet Paul says light. How can he say that? A light crushing, a light affliction, the pressure of being squeezed. Is there such a thing as calling it light? We're nearly tempted to ask Paul, what's light about it? You must have no idea, Paul. But then we couldn't talk to Paul like that, could we? Because he knew about affliction. He knew what it was like to be crushed. Paul has an idea of what trials are all about. He knows a thing or two about affliction. In fact, I would be so bold as to say he knows more about it than we know. He knows more about it than we shall ever know. Paul knew what affliction was. He knew what it was to be crushed. And yet, he includes himself in this matter. For he says, our light affliction. He's including himself. He's not so insensitive as to say, your light affliction. As if to say, mine's heavy. No, he's including himself. Our light affliction. We have many descriptions of Paul's afflictions. Read the Acts of the Apostles. Luke's narrative of the history of Paul's missionary journeys, and he relates many times when Paul suffered. In fact, he wasn't long saved whenever he received the word. Saul received the word that the Lord Jesus was to show him how many things he was to suffer for his name's sake. So right at the start of his conversion, Paul was shown he was going to suffer many afflictions. And Luke relates some of them. He's not long in Damascus, and the Jews are seeking to do what? They're seeking to kill him. I mean, if someone's seeking to kill you, that's a big affliction. I mean, if someone says one or two things about you, or slanders you, or says some lie, I mean, that hurts. But if they're out to kill you, that's crushing. And right at the start of his conversion, that's the way it was. He knew what affliction was. He knew what it was to be hunted and hounded, to be sought, to be murdered. Remember on his first missionary journey in Antioch of Syria, the Jews had stirred up all the people, and they raised persecution, the Bible says, against Paul and expelled him from their coasts. Then you remember he went on to Lystra. And what happened at Lystra? There were Jews came from the various towns round about, and they persuaded the people against Paul. And you know what they did? They took him out of the city and they stoned him. And they stoned him so hard they thought he was dead and they left him for dead. So the history of the Acts of the Apostle tells us Paul knows something about affliction. And yet he says, our light affliction. Now none of us have been stoned to near death. None of us have been bounded on the head with big boulders and the lifeblood, as it were, to pour out of us. But Paul has suffered this. In fact, in this chapter, and he relates some of his sufferings. In the very context, he says he's persecuted, bearing in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Death works in us. Later on in the epistle, he tells about more specifically how he suffered. He said he was whipped about beyond measure on occasions. You see, there was a limit on a Jewish whipping, 39. There were times he was whipped beyond that. And there were times when he was whipped below that. He was stoned, as I said. He suffered shipwreck. He was in the deep. He suffered at the hands of robbers. He suffered at the hands of his own countrymen. He was suffered in coldness and nakedness and in poverty. And he had all the cares of all the churches. He was a burdened man. He was a pressed down man. So he's not saying out of ignorance, insensitively, light affliction, as if he knows nothing about it. No, he knows all about the heavy weight. He knows all about the heavy load, and yet he is careful to use that adjective, light. He's not minimizing trouble, but he's speaking comparatively. You see, he has been in the fires. He has been in and under the heavy load. But while he has been under the weight and under the heavy load, you know what he's done? He's prayed. And he's studied his Bible. And he's meditated. And he's thought about his afflictions. And he's thought about how to cope with them through God's grace. And he's learned a thing or two about affliction. And this is a summary of what he's learned. It's all light. Light. That's the conclusion he's come to. You see, he's a man taught of God. You'll not come to say about your afflictions are light until you've been taught of God. Until the Lord lets you see what they really are in the face of all eternity. So only a man taught of God can say, our light affliction. And so this is the right perspective for a Christian about his affliction. If you can't say this morning, our light affliction, you need to pray. You need to say, Lord, give me understanding. Help me to see it the way Paul sees it. Help me to see it in the light of your holy word. Help me to see the reality of things. Help me to see it the way it is, Lord. Teach me. Paul has understanding, you see, of these things. We don't.
But we have to pray, Lord, give me understanding. You remember Solomon said, Lord, give me an understanding heart. I have to see things right. I have to make certain decisions. I have to know how to walk right. And I can't without right understanding. So help me to see things right. Give me understanding. Didn't the psalmist often pray that? Give understanding unto me, Lord, he said, and I shall live. I'll be able to walk right. I'll be able to be a man alive. I'll be able to be a man on fire for God if I have understanding. So give understanding unto me, Lord. You remember how Paul, when he wrote to Timothy, just young Timothy, Timothy had problems, personality problems. He was timid. And Paul had to write to him, and Paul, adding to the things that he wrote to him, he said, Timothy, consider what I say, and the Lord give you understanding. And that's what I want you to do this morning, congregation. I want you to consider what I say, and the Lord give you understanding. You know, that's what the pastoral office exists for, to give understanding unto you. To give understanding unto the people. Do you remember how God promised in the Old Testament? He says, I'll give you pastors. I'll give you pastors according to mine own heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. That's the role of a pastor. To give the knowledge and the understanding. Not to show off his eloquence. Not to display his great knowledge. Not to amuse you with stories to make you feel good for an hour or two. But to feed you with understanding. And you need to understand this text. Light affliction. What are you going through this morning? How do you view it? Are you saying, oh, this is too heavy for me. This is too much for me. I don't deserve this. This is how the Lord wants you to see it. Light. Our light affliction. So let's endeavor to understand what Paul is saying here, and the reasons behind such a conclusion. Why would he say this? Our light affliction. Well, there are many reasons why he would say it, and many reasons why he does say it. But I just want to confine myself to the text in the main, and the reasons that he himself states. He says, for our light affliction. And here he gives one of them, which is but for a moment. It's but for a moment. That's an evident reason in the text. That meets us straight away. Your affliction, whatever it is, however many they may be, Paul says, it's but for a moment. Now, this is a very interesting word, this word moment. It's also a very rare word. This is the only place it occurs in all the Bible, and that makes it difficult for us to illustrate it from the Scriptures. It is a word that suggests it's just momentary. It's just passing. It's just for a little space. It's just a short spell. Our light affliction. It's for a short spell. A moment. But maybe you say, well, my afflictions lasted months. Months. Years. And that's true. Sometimes our afflictions never seem to end. Sometimes we suffer the consequences of our afflictions till our dying day. Many of our afflictions we carry to the grave. I mean, if man is afflicted in having his leg amputated, he'd bear that affliction to the grave. Look at Job, all he suffered. He lost his family, he lost all his children. He suffered that to the grave, even though it got better in some respects later on in life. He still bore that to the grave, the loss of the family. And it wasn't a moment. It wasn't a minute or two. It lasted years. It lasted the rest of his life. He carried it to the grave. Paul isn't excluding those kind of afflictions, and yet he says they're light and they're all but a moment, even though they last months and years and we take them to the grave. How can Paul say this? But a moment. Well, congregation, it's because he's speaking comparatively. Paul doesn't invent this idea of a moment. He's taught of God, as I say. He knows his Bible. It's contained abundantly in scriptures, this truth. The temporary nature of our sufferings. Remember how the psalmist said, his anger endureth but a moment. Just a moment. His chastisement of it is but a minute. Weeping may endure for a night. A night, just a night. But the joy, the endless joy, the unspeakable joy, the uninterrupted joy comes always in the morning. There's a morning. There's a hereafter. There's a longer space of time after our affliction, which is but for a moment. It's temporary. God said to the prophet, in a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment. It might have lasted weeks and months, even years. But God says it's but a moment compared to the great eternity, compared to heaven, compared to hereafter. What does Peter call it? He says, a season. Now for a season, he says, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. And he says in 1 Peter chapter 5, he says, the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, just a while, just a little while, just a season, just a moment, after you have suffered a while. That's all it is. I'm not minimizing it. I'm using the words of Holy Scripture about your affliction. I know it's hard to bear, and I know it's long to bear, but I want you to see it in the light of eternity. It's but a moment. It's just a season. It's just a while. These are the words of Scripture to describe it. It's duration. We have to think scripturally, congregation. We have to think biblically. You see, Paul is thinking in the light of eternity. It's not eternal suffering. That's what he's saying. It's not the sufferings and the afflictions of the damned. It's but a moment. And because it's but a moment and not the eternal sufferings and the afflictions of the damned, then they are light. Light in comparison. And that's how he's thinking. He's thinking about eternity. He's thinking in the light of eternity. And I know he is because of what he says. We've seen the thought of duration, but he is thinking also in the terms of weight and glory. He compares the weight of suffering with the weight of eternal glory, with the weight of heaven. So it's suffering for a moment, but it's contrasted with the weight of heaven, the eternal glory. And so he compares the weight of suffering with the weight of glory, and he compares the weight of glory with the weight of affliction, and he has to say, compared to the weight of glory, the weight of affliction is light. Light. Notice the words that are contrasted with the light and with but a moment. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Heaven is glory. Heaven is weight. It's substance. Affliction is light. It's not substance. It's temporary. It's passing. It's like vanity. But our glory, our heaven, is weight. And it's eternal weight. And it's exceeding weight. And it's even far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. You see how he pours the words in to show heaven on one side with the temporary nature of our afflictions on the other. It's a powerful verse of comparison and contrasts. Heaven is substance and reality. Eternal happiness, peace, rest, joy, uninterrupted joy, everlasting tranquility, perfect in holiness, no sinfulness, and the joy of unbroken communion with God. It's wonderful. And compared with the glory that is to come, anything that we suffer now is light. This is thinking biblically. It's but for a moment. It'll soon be over. And so you are to see your afflictions in that light, congregation. And this is why Paul writes late. It's going to end soon. It'll be over soon. It'll soon finish. And what wonders will be in its place? You see, congregation, the end of all things is at hand, even our afflictions. Now let's carefully attend here further onto what Paul means by these words. He is telling us afflictions of the Christian are not hell. That's the important thing. Whatever we go through here on earth is not hell. They are not eternal afflictions. They are not the afflictions of the damned. The Christian is not going to hell. And whatever he suffers in this life, because they are not of eternal moment, but temporary and short and brief, therefore they are light. Our affliction is light, congregation, in comparison to what we deserve. That's the truth. Paul includes that idea in this when he says, for a moment. Whenever you realize what you deserve, whenever we become to an understanding of what we should be suffering for our sins, then whatever you do suffer will always appear light in comparison to that. And so we can only say light, comparatively speaking. That's what Paul is talking about here. Our sinfulness deserves far worse than anything we go through. And our sins deserve eternal torments. They deserve everlasting weeping, everlasting wailing. They deserve the outer blackness of darkness forever and ever. But as Christians in Christ, through God's grace, the saints come off lightly in comparison to the ungodly. Yes, they suffer too in this world. But their suffering has an element in it that is eternal. It's a forerunner of hell, all that they suffer. It has a curse in it. But Christians have not the curse in their afflictions. Their afflictions are of the nature of chastisement. Afflictions in the hand of a heavenly Father who has redeemed us and loves us in Jesus Christ. So we've no cause to complain of any of our sufferings in this world because of this reason. They're free of the curse. Remember how the psalmist said, "The Lord hath chastened me sore." Oh, it's been hard, it's been heavy. It's been terrible to endure. He's not minimizing it. But listen to what he says in the same breath. "But he hath not given me over unto death.
He hasn't handed me over to the devil. He hasn't handed me over to hell. Yes, he's chasing me sore, but he hasn't put me into the everlasting destruction from his presence. He hasn't given me over into the power of death. Therefore, it's late. This is what Paul means. He's taught of the Word of God. He's taught by the Holy Spirit. He knows. I further add that this is how our Savior comforted himself in his afflictions. Now, let me say this. Christ's afflictions were not light. Jesus could never say, "Our light affliction," because that element of the curse was in Christ's afflictions. He couldn't say it. And this isn't used of Christ. This is only used of the body. It's not used of the head. Christ's afflictions were not light. He had no light cross to bear. We could never call his cross at any time light affliction. It was not that. In fact, it was quite the opposite. But in his affliction, which was a heavy affliction, he sustained himself with this thought. The glory, the eternal glory, the future glory. Because the apostle says in Hebrews 12, verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. This is how he walked. This is the one who had true faith and full faith and perfect faith. How did he walk in his afflictions? For the joy that was set before him, for the glory, for the eternity, for what lay in heaven, for what was at the Father's right hand, for the joy that was before him, endured the cross, despising the shame. So he went through it manfully and patiently by eyeing the eternal and the weight of glory. And that's what Christians are to do as well. We have to eye heaven and eye the eternal glory and the hereafter, and not just be caught up in the crushing of that moment that we go through. You see, the Lord Jesus knew where he was going. He knew where he was going to, and that helped him to endure patiently. And he didn't murmur, he didn't complain, he didn't say, "Why me?" and "I don't deserve this," and all of that. While we're at the cross, there is another reason why the Christian afflictions are to be viewed as light. We talked about the curse having been removed from our affliction, and therefore that makes it light. That's the heavy part of the affliction. It's the weight of the curse. And at the cross, Christ bore that weight. He was made a curse for us. He was afflicted. It was a real Gethsemane. It was a heavy crushing. It was a real pressing. Nothing light about it at all. He's bearing the weight at the cross. The hellish part of affliction he has removed in his sacrifice on the tree. That is why his affliction was not light. It is also why our affliction is light. Brethren and sisters, our Savior has taken away the weight of our trials. Not the pain of them. Not the shame of them. Not the hurt of them. But the eternal torments of them. Christ's cross makes our afflictions light. And so, speaking comparatively, our afflictions are light in comparison to the Savior's, because in his afflictions he's bearing our sins. That's another place to bring your afflictions to see them light, to the cross. To see your Savior, what he's done for you. To see him taking the curse out of it, the affliction of death, taking the sting out of it, taking the hurtful part out of it, the eternal part out of it. So see what you deserve every time you're in trials and afflictions, and see Christ's sufferings as he bears them.
The Lord did suffer for our sins, brethren and sisters. You know that. He borne our griefs. He carried our sorrows. He's wounded for our transgressions. He's bruised for our iniquities. Is it nothing to you, he says, all you that pass by? Behold and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which is done unto me, wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger. Your afflictions are not the cross. Our afflictions are not Calvary. And therefore they are light. He has bore the weight of them all. The man of sorrows, our Lord Jesus. One other reason is given in the text as well. Yes, it's for a moment. But there's another reason added. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh. Oh, this is what makes it light. It's doing something. It worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. It's working to the saints' everlasting good. All that you suffer, all the afflictions that you go through, everything the Lord brings on you, every pressure God brings into your life, it's working something for your good. It's mighty. Even your afflictions, which seem to weigh you down, are mighty in the hand of God because they're doing something for your eternal well-being. They're doing something for your future happiness. They're doing something towards your eternal glory and being in the presence of God. So Paul's not just saying here, it's just a case of, oh, they're just for a moment and they're past. No, he's going beyond that. They're doing far more than that. They're working. They're effectual to accomplish something in your eternal well-being. And so afflictions are light. Whenever we realize somehow they are doing something for our weight and glory. Now, I can't explain that. I can't specifically identify your affliction and how somehow that will make your heaven even more glorious. I can't define the process or explain the detail. But it's what is taught in the text. Your heartaches here will make your heaven even brighter and better. Somehow. This is amazing. It works to our good. Isn't that what the apostle says in Romans 8? We know that all things work together for our good. That includes afflictions. And that's why they must be light. Because they are doing this for our good. There must be something glorious about them. Even afflictions are benefiting the people of God. Now, I haven't time to enlarge on that second point. But it's clearly taught in the text. Your trials are benefiting you. You need them somehow. Remember how the Lord said, rejoice and be exceeding glad. These are the people of God who are persecuted, who are suffering. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Remember how the apostle said about chastisement. He says that no chastening for the present time seems to be joyful. No chastening at the present seems to be light. No chastening at the present seems to be of any good or benefit or anything pleasurable about it. Yes, that's true. It doesn't seem to be joyous. In fact, it seems to be grievous. But nevertheless, afterward. And that's what Paul has in mind here. The afterward. It yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness. So there are benefits of afflictions. And Paul knew this. Whenever he was writing to the Philippians, he was in bonds, he had problems, he had troubles, he was being persecuted. He said that my bonds in Christ are manifest in the palace and in all places. He says there were people who were preaching out of spite towards him, out of envy and strife,
And they hope to add affliction to my bonds, he says. But, you know, he didn't despair. He said something very interesting. He said, but I know that this shall turn to my salvation. That's interesting. He didn't say it'll cause his salvation. It's only the grace of God causes his salvation and brings him salvation. But he knew that somehow these afflictions and these trials and these envious preachers, whatever, who were giving him trouble, and all these chains and the bonds that he had in the jail cell, he knew that somehow, having endured all that, it would somehow turn to an even more greater salvation, an even more wonderful experience of salvation, an even greater delight in God's presence than if he just died after he was saved and went straight to heaven. What delight would he have then? But having gone through all the trials and all the torments and all the difficulties and then going to heaven, ah, what a glory. This is what he's talking about, and this is what he means in our text. So these are the two reasons why he says that they are light. And may the Lord bless these thoughts to our understanding. There are many other reasons why our afflictions may be viewed as light, but these are the two the apostle emphasizes in the text this morning. Let us pray. Lord, we ask thy blessing on the word. Encourage thy people, especially any who may be in sore trials and they feel they're very heavy. Lord, may they have new light. May they see them in with new perspective and with new lenses. And may they leave joyfully and gladly today, for Jesus' glory and for Jesus' sake. Amen.